Good morning. How's everybody doing? Everybody having a good summer? Is it cool enough in here? Special welcome to you guys this morning, especially those that might be live streaming with us today. We're continuing in the book of Genesis, the life of Jacob and everybody else that's connected to him. But before we get there, I want to give you a little tool I want to share with you this morning. As we go through this study, to help us remember, I want to write a little acronym here. And as we go through these verses, you look back at this board, and that's going to help you and I make applications of this lesson for today. It's a little pamphlet that I wrote several years ago when I was working at one church, and the acronym is SPECT. The first letter is S, and it stands for Sin to Forsake. What is there that I need to forsake? Oh, man. P is for promise. What promise to claim? C is for command. What do I need to obey? Stop shaking. There we go. And T is what do I need to be thankful for? Right there. Man, my writing is terrible, but here we go. Okay, so as we go through these verses, you guys, okay, look back on this board and say, okay, what sin do I need to forsake right now that's in my life? What promise can I claim from my studies this morning as we go through the life of Jacob? Is there anything that I need to obey? What is God telling me right now? Now, church, this message is for us today. And the last one is, what do I need to be thankful for? Okay? All right, you with me? All right, let's go to Genesis 35. And I have a couple questions for you as we go and study Genesis 35 and the life of Jacob. Question. Think about these four questions that are pretty interesting to talk about. As the study continues, does your life feel out of control? Or do you know someone that their life is out of control? Question number two, are you overwhelmed in the midst of a personal crisis? Number three, do you or someone you know feel discouraged and defeated? And question number four, do you or someone you know feel that you are spiritually empty or dry? Now, all of us at one point in our lives have said yes to one or four of these questions. Maybe you have answered yes to only one or two this morning, but answering yes to any of these questions is often, check this, a barometer of our relationship with Jesus. When we feel these questions are yes, then we need to address and evaluate where we are spiritually. Do you feel any of these this morning? Now, Jacob, at the end of chapter 34, man, Jacob's life, you guys, is a mess. Agree? I mean, the guy has done everything wrong. 30 years before he met with God, and Jacob was fleeing from his brother Esau. God blessed Jacob with livestock and possessions. He prospered financially. He had 11 sons and one daughter, and God even brought Jacob back to Canaan. But Jacob stopped short of Bethel. And that's why I decided to call this message Back to Basics. Back to Basics. Genesis 35, we're going to be talking about three things here, folks. And number one is to remember God's faithfulness. Number two, repent, get rid of your idols. And section number three of what we're going to be talking about is return by obeying and do what God has already asked you to do. Okay, so here we go, 35. And remember those things as we continue on today, because they're going to be very crucial to our understanding of what's happening. So God could have said to Jacob, you know what, man? You've just blown it too much. I want to pick somebody else. Bye, Jacob. So it was Abraham, Isaac, and I got to get somebody else, Jake. You know, you're just not working out. Is that what God said? No, he did not. As a matter of fact, verse 1 of Genesis 35, then God said to Jacob, notice that he approached Jacob and said, arise. He gives him four imperatives here. He gives him four imperatives. God's talking to Jacob directly, and he says, arise, go, dwell, and make. Four imperatives. God said, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there and make an altar there to God who appeared to you when you fled from the face of Esau, your brother. God is calling Jacob back to the place where he first met God. Now, folks, it would be very easy in our study to say, okay, what's the next verse? Let's go on. Let's stop and focus and pause. What is God speaking to you about today? What's the Holy Spirit talking to you about today? Are you ready to hear from the Lord? Because we all need this. Genesis 28, 16 through 19 is where he said, that's right, this is Bethel. This is the house of God. This is where everything started. Now for us, the house of God is not the building, this FCA gym. The house of God are the people, it's you and I. It's the Spirit of God dwelling inside us. But let me ask you a question, church. Where's your Bethel? How did you first meet God? How did you become a Christian? Maybe your Bethel is the first time you trusted Christ as your Savior. Maybe your Bethel is when God did a miraculous healing in your life. Maybe your Bethel is when that addiction finally broke by the power of the Holy Spirit when you met God. This is it. This is my Bethel. This is my relationship with God. Maybe your Bethel, ready, church, is right here, Christ Community Church. This is our church. This is where God has called you and I right now to be in the perfect center of his will as we build his kingdom. You're not here by accident. None of us are. And so your Bethel could be Christ Community Church. Is this special to you? It should be. Is this divine to you? It should be. Because you're in the center of God's plan, and he wants to equip us. And he wants to equip us to the point, folks, where we don't make the same mistakes as Jacob did. Because Jacob was a very bad example. God's warning us, and he's teaching us. So step one is remember. Say with me, remember. You got to remember. And let's take it a step further. Folks, do you remember the first time that you gave your life to Jesus? And what happened to you that day? For me, it was February 1985. Pastor Phil Leslie led me to Christ, and he said, John, all your sins, past, present, future, are gone. Or wiped out. Do you remember the excitement? Do you remember the freedom that you experienced when you first received Christ? Do you remember when that missionary came to church and you couldn't wait to hear their stories? Do you remember that one time that you led someone to Christ and their life changed because of the gospel that went forth from you? Do you remember discipling that person who led other people to the Lord? Do you remember the people in your church that you spoke with that could say, you know what? I've been blessed so much by the Lord, and they encouraged you instead of you encouraging them? Guys, we got to go back to basics. Kingdom building is why we need to be here, to build God's house. Bethel. Step one, remember. Step two, Jacob finally gets it. Up to this point, Jacob has been a terrible father and a terrible spiritual leader. Now Jacob gets it. Look at verse 2. And Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, "Put away the foreign gods that are among you. Purify yourselves and change your garments. Then let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make an altar there to the Lord, who answered me in the day of my distress, and he has been with me in the way I have gone." So they gave Jacob all the foreign gods which were in their hands and the earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them. That word should be buried, by the way. Under the terebinth tree which was by Shechem. Jacob, point number two, repent. Number one, remember. Number two, repent. He repents. And by the way, starts with himself. He's finally taking spiritual leadership of his family. Dads, let me talk to you for a second here. How you doing? Are you the spiritual leader at your house? Do you know if your house contains idols? How you doing? How are we doing? Especially if your children are still at home with you. You need to be checking. One of my mentors many, many years ago, back in the early 90s when I was youth pastor, started mentoring me. And he said, "John, you need to know your children a lot better." I'm like, "Whoa, I'm a youth pastor. I know my kids." He goes, "Are you dating your daughter?" I'm like, "What are you, six? She's only 3 years old. You need to be spending time with your daughter." I said, "Barry, how do you do that?" And he taught me. We need to be spending time with our kids because rules without relationship is rebellion. I started spending time with my daughter, Carly, and I took her out to McDonald's at 3 years old. I'm like, "What am I going to do?" You play connect the dots. And you read a book. And you learn your kids. Dad, if you don't know your children, this could be you. You better know your kids. Dad, you better start doing hang time with your kids. My sons followed right after that. I remember my son, Daniel, he loved Arby's. Hang time with Dad, I took him to Arby's. And that developed. And through that relationship is we can find out where your kids are, or where your wife is, or where your husband is. Where are you at when it comes to idols? Now, people might say, you know, obviously, Jacob had a casual attitude towards his and his family's sin at this point. But finally, Jacob becomes the family spiritual leader. He tolerated idols. Even Rachel, his favorite wife, took her idols with her on her last escapade. You may say, "I don't have statues of wood, clay, metal. I don't have that at home. I don't bow down to anything." Let's take a look at what today's idols might include in 2026 America. You could have a career as your idol. Everything else that is subordinate to your business and money. Your career is number one, everything else, including your relationship with God and making disciples and using your spiritual gifts, are on the second level. But your career is everything. Come on. This is America, a land of opportunity. Number two, your affluence, never enough. It's the car, it's the house, it's the latest, it's the computer, it's the entertainment that we need to keep us super, super busy that we forget about God, oftentimes. Number three, personal accomplishments. Yeah, looking out for number one. That's the most important thing. It's all about me. And sometimes we leave God on the second level. Here's a kind of a different one. As I was studying this, I picked this up reading a fantastic book called Controlling Your Emotions. Feelings. Do you know that feelings could be an idol? Take you one way or another when you directly know that God has obeyed you to do something. I don't feel like forgiving. I don't feel like serving. I don't feel like sharing Jesus with that person. And feelings could be idolatrous. when they take place. An idol, here's a definition, anything that takes you away from God and His will for your life. Anything. Got to be God-centered. How about control? Got to be in control of everything. To the point where you are controlling other people's lives. God, I got this. God, I got this. I know what's needed here. God, I got this. Really? Really? Being a controlling person is a form of idolatry today. Your phone, I asked four teenagers about this, right? You guys, a privilege of being on FCA full time, so I hang with teenagers a lot. I'm like, hey, guys, what's an idol today that young people struggle with? Number one, right here. This gets more time than anything else in the lives of the teenagers and adults. I'm not going to bore you with the statistics about hours, but this can take second place of our relationship with God. Now, you know, I have YouVersion on here, John. It's okay. Yeah. But the stories I hear, especially from young men, about the distractions that the thing could be, are horrendous and extremely addictive. So be careful. And last one before we continue, relationships. You know that you can love your husband and wife and kids more than you can love God? How about that girlfriend, boyfriend? You can put them right up on the pedestal and say, you know what, God? I'm just going to chill out with you for a little bit. It's not just pieces of iron. We went to Ecuador one time on a mission trip, and we were sharing door to door, and I ran across this lady who had a cross like this around her neck, and I said, hey, I noticed, ma'am, that you have a cross around your neck. And she goes, yeah, it brings me good luck. I'm like, really? Yeah, the person that gave it to me said that it will keep evil spirits away. I'm like, wow. Do you really believe that? She goes, oh, yeah. Yeah, I worship this thing. I'm like, ma'am, can I talk to you? Make a long story short. You guys, she started bawling when she found out that it's only Jesus and the Spirit of God that powers us to believe and gives us the gift of repentance and faith and keeps us protected from the evil one. It's not a material thing. That is a symbol of the victory of Christ is no longer hanging there. But if I'm one of Jacob's kids, I'm going like this. Hey, Dad, here's my idol. I'm done with it. I've been worshiping that thing too long. In FCA, we say, you know what? One of the greatest idols in America today is sports. Anybody watch the World Cup? Right? Yeah! Millions of people going, man, it's such incredible. Wow. So, a little note here. If you have idols in your life, you're more likely to say yes to all the four questions that we talked about. It's often not the trial or the difficulty that causes the problem. It's an idol in our lives that keeps us from letting be the best and getting the best from God. So get rid of your foreign gods. Purify yourselves. That meant literally wash and change your clothes. Do you remember before Jesus what you used to wear? I know it's a touchy subject here, but you know what? I remember wearing t-shirts with curses on them. It was not glorifying at all. Then you get saved and you start wearing different clothing. When you stand in front of a mirror, the thing that should bring attention to your body is your face. And so you got to change your clothes. What does change your clothes mean? You got to change your clothes. How about this? Change the outside appearance. You might have to change the way you act or the people that you hang with. And that's a tough one, right? Sun Life Ministries has a statistic out there that when somebody gets saved, and here's on the negative side, though. When somebody gets saved, they fall in love with Jesus so much so that within the first 3 years, they lose all their non-believing friends. And that's not good, right? So we fall in love with Christ and the church, and we're accepted, and we're loved. And yet, God says, go make disciples, often falls to the side because it's us four and no more. So Jesus said, make disciples. Keep doing what you're doing. Go back to basics. Remember, repent, and return. Verses 5 to 7 is much more personal here. They journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities. They were all around them, and they did not pursue the sons of Jacob. So Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan, and he and all the people who were with him. And he built an altar there and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared to him as he fled from his brother. Incredible. Much more personal, supernatural protection. God's grace covered Jacob and his family, and Jacob was terrified. You know why? Because of the slaughter and all the sin and the crime that his family caused in chapter 34 in Shechem. He was terrified. Compound. Terror. And God said, no, I'm going to let you guys go. All the other towns, all the other villages, they're not going to get you. Don't worry, I got you. I have you. I will give you supernatural protection. 1978, my best friend went to Temple University. I went to visit him in my 1970 Chevelle. I said, Chuck, I'm coming down to see you. Where's your school? South Philly. Anybody know anything about South Philly? It is bad. It is evil. My car broke down 5 o'clock at night in South Philly. I'm like, this is incredible. I can't, that's it. Out of nowhere, a tow truck pulls up, tows me away, and says, if you would have been here another hour, you'd be dead. Very, very bad part of town. My distributor gear broke on the bottom of my distributor, but the Lord protected me. You guys, this is before I knew Christ. And he was pursuing me even at that point. Do you remember the blessings that you received from the Lord even when you weren't saved? Because the hound of heaven wanted you here today at this church glorifying him and thanking him for the blessing he's given you. Amen? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Are you with me? God gets the glory. He built an altar to worship the Lord because of his grace and protection. Jacob, here's the R, returning to his first love. Now, I'm going to read Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. The angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, he who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works. I know that you labor, your patience, that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, church, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you and remove your lampstands from their place. Little revelation there, you guys. Where are you? Where are you when it comes to this? We talked about remembrance, repenting, and returning to Jesus. Are we excited about Christ and what he's done? Are we telling other people? Are we encouraging other people? Verse 8. Now, Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died, and she was buried below Bethel under the terebinth tree, and the name of it is called Alon Bakuth. Verse 8. Now, who was this Deborah? She was a grandma. She was a grandma to the boys. She was picked up in Haran a long time ago, and she was Rebekah's right-hand lady. She was her nurse. She took care of her. Not too much is written about her, but it's sad because the oak of weeping describes the attitude and the emotions of her death, right? From here on, we will see that Jacob will go through four burials. The first one, he buried the idols. The second one, Deborah, he loses his wife, Rachel, and then he buries his father, Isaac, along with Esau. So just because you get your life right with God, oftentimes, and I tell people this all the time, will Jesus make my life better? Yes and no. It will be harder. Because we all go through these very emotional and sad times. And Jacob is going through that right now. Let's go to verse 10. Starting with verse 9, then God appeared to Jacob again, and he came from Paddan Aram and blessed him. Again, he's hounding him. And God said to him, your name is Jacob. Your name shall not be called Jacob anymore, but Israel shall be your name. So he called his name Israel. And God Almighty said to them, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply, and a nation of company and nation shall proceed from you, and kings shall come from your body, including the Lord Jesus Christ. Parenthetical, John Perzina. The land which I give Abraham and Isaac, I give to you and to your descendants after I give you this land. Then God went up from him in the place where he talked with him. So Jacob set up a pillar in that place where he talked with him, a pillar of stone, and he poured a drink offering on it, and he poured oil on it. And Jacob called the place where God spoke to him Bethel. Folks, sound familiar? Yeah, definitely. It sounds familiar. Let's talk about name changes. Abram, Abraham. Sarah, Sarai. Peter was a stone. He became a rock. How about you? Can I remind us of our new names in Christ as we identify? Check this out. As believers, the book of Hebrews says that we are saved forever and completely. You are saved by grace. You are forgiven. You're accepted. You're beloved of God. You're servants of the Most High. We have been renamed. We are now new creatures. We're dead to sin. We're alive to God. We're walking in the newness of life. By the way, which one of these hits you? We're baptized into Christ Jesus. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are clothed with Christ. The old has gone. The new is here. We're clothed with Christ. You and I are holy. We're blameless. We're at peace with God. We're born again. Partakers of the divine nature. Hello. What an awesome gift that God's given us. Partakers of the divine nature through the power of the Holy Spirit. We're children of the promise. We are one in him. We're the body of Christ. We're already seated in heaven, folks. Isn't that great? We are already seated in heaven. We are kingdom citizens. We are a royal priesthood. We are vessels of honor. We are the salt of the earth, light of the world. We are soldiers of Christ, fishers of men. We are ministers of reconciliation. And the last one, I've had this in my car for 25 years. We are victorious. Are you? Because in Christ we can be. Amen? This is just awesome. Awesome stuff. Well, verses 11 to 12, the promise is reiterated. Verse 13 shows another Christophany. Look at 13 again, you guys. Incredible. When God went up from him in the place where he talked with him. So he went up. I believe here this teaches another Christophany. It was Christ that talked to him. Imagine having Jesus come to your face and talking to you right here. He is right now by the power of the Holy Spirit. Another Christophany is in place. Jacob, in verses 14 and 15, performed sacrificial acts as a form of worship. He poured a drink offering on the pillar. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 says that Paul said the same thing. I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is near. Paul knew it, and he fought the good fight. Here, the heart of worship of Jacob shows gratitude for God's blessings. At the end of this message, we're going to do something very, very special. We're going to worship by building a pillar together. I have 12 stones here, and I'm going to ask you guys to come up one by one. What has God done, and how has he blessed you as we build this pillar as a reminder of God's goodness and faithfulness to us at this church, Christ Community Church? Amen? So get ready to do that. Be thinking about that as we go through this. All right, so Verses 16 through 20. Then they journeyed from Bethel, and when there was put a little distance, they went to Ephrata. Rachel labored in childbirth, and she had hard labor. Now it came to pass when she was in hard labor that the midwife said to her, "Don't fear, you'll have a son." Words of hope. Verse 18, and it was so, as her soul was departing, for she died, that she called his name Ben-Oni, but his father, Jacob steps in here, man, great leadership, his father called him Benjamin. So Rachel died and was buried on the way to Ephrath, that is Bethlehem, yes, the same town of little town of Bethlehem, and Jacob set a pillar on her grave, which is a pillar of Rachel's grave to this day. Another tragic death and loss in his life. But the victory here is Ben-Oni means son of my sorrow. And Benjamin means son of the right hand. Jacob steps in, and does a very, very great thing by renaming that wonderful son. One of my grandsons' name is Benjamin. We're so happy for that. And we're very happy that our grandson Benjamin has a great dad and a great mom and people who love the Lord, who will bring them up in the admonition of the Lord because they have their eyes on Jesus. Speaking of right hand, listen to Psalm 16:8. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand, and I shall not be moved. Isn't that a great psalm? That is just fantastic. What a loss, though. What a loss. So you think that the worst is over for Jacob, right? When it comes to his family? Verses 21 and 22. Then Israel journeyed and pitched his tent near the Tower of Eder. And it happened when Israel dwelt there in that land that Reuben, the firstborn, went and lay with Bilhah, the father's concubine, and Israel heard about it. Now you might say, he just heard about it and that's it? We don't have time to go there, but in 1 Chronicles, it is recorded that Reuben will lose his inheritance because of this great sin and disappointment to his father. Reuben blew it, firstborn. Blew it. Wonder what Jacob was speaking to him. Well, he was supposed to receive the covenant, but he didn't. He grew up in a very dysfunctional home. Not surprising. Just look back. Reuben's brothers were the ones who engineered this scheme at Shechem, the massacre. They were wild. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, they seemed to disqualify themselves from Abraham's blessings by the atrocities of what they've done. But, you guys, good news is that the fourth son, what's his name? Judah, will do something very special, even though he will have issues of his own. Verses 23 to 26. Here's the name of these fantastic God-loving people, right? God, you guys, it's God's grace. Look at this dysfunctional family and what's come about, and God says, no, I still want to use them. You guys, it's not too late for you and I. We got to remember, we got to repent, and we got to return to the first thing. Loving each other, making disciples, inviting people to church, using our spiritual gift sets. Where are you and I in this as we continue? Now, the sons of Jacob were 12 tribes of Israel. I have 12 stones here, by the way. The sons of Leah were Reuben, Jacob's firstborn, and Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun. The sons of Rachel were Joseph and Benjamin. The sons of Bilhah, Rachel's maidservant, were Dan and Naphtali. And the sons of Zilpah, Leah's maidservant, were Gad and Asher. These were the sons of Jacob who were born to him in Paddan Aram. Then Jacob came to his father Isaac at Mamre, or Kiriath Arba, this is Hebron, verse 27, where Abraham and Isaac had dwelt. Now the days of Isaac were 180 years. He was an old man. So Isaac breathed his last and died. and was gathered to his people, being old and full of days, and his sons Esau and Jacob buried him. Jacob thought his dad would die actually 20 years prior to this, but Jacob got to see his dad pass away. Now, these brothers worked together to bury their father. And isn't it, I don't want to say strange, but isn't it something, you guys, that sometimes when we go to a funeral or a wedding, we see people that we haven't seen in 10, 15, 10, 20 years, right? We see people that we haven't seen for that one occasion. That's a good time to preach the gospel, by the way. I love doing weddings and funerals because you get to preach the gospel. And people think, where am I? Do I have a right relationship with Christ? Where do I need to be? And here we see Esau and Jacob working together on this. And I, you know, if I could be a fly on the wall, I wonder of all the stuff that they went through, you know, running away, the deceiving, the lying, you know, going to Laban's house and Rachel and Leah and then Esau pursuing and, you know, it's okay, brother, we can do this. And I'd love to be there to see the result of what happened. But we weren't. This is all recorded for us here. Are you there? Hang with me, okay? 3 points that I want to make. How does Genesis 5 point to Jesus? Well, there are three deaths personally, and then one, which is burying those idols, which is really good, okay? Should remind us that Jesus conquered death. That reminded me, you know what? Yeah, there's a lot of deaths recorded for us, but what did Jesus say? I am the resurrection and the life. Even though you believe in me, even though you die, you'll never die. You will live forever. Say forever, church. Forever. We're living forever with Jesus. Point number two. A funny thing about the names thing here, I picked up on it, right? Ben-Oni, it's son of my sorrow. Jesus is also known as the son of sorrows and grief. A man of sorrows and grief. Guys, when you ever think, man, Lord, I'm going through this. Are you with me? Yes, I've been there. And the Holy Spirit will remind us that, yeah, Christ was there. And the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, will do his work as well. Right? And also Jesus, who seats at the right hand? Who's sitting at the right hand of God right now? Jesus. So in two ways here, Ben-Oni, son of my sorrows, but Benjamin, the son of the right hand, because now Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. And that's a good thing to know, you guys. And Bethel, last point before we go to our church activity here. The last point here, Bethel is the house of God. Jesus is building his house of God right now in and through his people at Christ Community Church. It's not the building, it's us. Church, how do we want to grow? We got to make disciples. What we're going to do right now, I want you to talk about at your lunches, in your cubicles at work, on your fields, wherever you work. Say, hey, we did this really cool thing at church. Can I share it with you? You guys, people, I talk to people every day about the Lord, and they are just dying to hear. Hope, truth, healing. And who's going to tell them? It's got to be us. All right, so here's what we're going to do. Just like Jacob has experienced blessings, I like to invite us to come on up, pick up a brick as we build this pillar together, and let's testify together what that blessing was. What did the Lord do for you? Now, Jacob remembered, repented, and returned. What are some of the stories of this church? We don't get to hear them too much unless you're in a small group. By the way, if you're not in a small group, you got to be in one. It'll change your life, okay? So here's a mic. Come on up, and I'll start. The thing that God has most blessed me with, that I'm most grateful for, is salvation and eternal life.